Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It's now time for a very huggers edition. Is that the word I'm looking for? I was gonna say, is hugfelt a word?
Heartfelt, definitely a word. Heartfelt? Couldn't be.
A very heartfelt edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends, which friends to hug, and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey, and I'm joined by the Spiritfarer himself, Basher.
Am I the Spiritfarer? Am I the one that dies in the beginning? Because that would suck.
Yep, that's you. Oh, sorry. Sorry, you got to find out this way. Spiritfarer, that's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. But before we talk about that, if you're listening to this episode, you might have noticed that the Wasteland 3 episode just came out in the spirit of time. See what I did there? We decided to release these episodes only about a day apart due to Microsoft releasing so many day one games. We have made it our own curse to play all the day one games ASAP. At the time, I thought it was a novel thing, but then I think Microsoft listens to this podcast, obviously, and they were like, "Oh, think you're cool with your little day one here? Here's 1,000 games." So next week your episode will probably come late or at all. Next episode will be Crusader Kings 3. So. But that's why that episode. So there's a very good chance that if you didn't listen to this day one, you missed episode. So go back and listen to that Wasteland 3. It's a good episode. So, but all right, that's not what this episode about. This episode is about Spiritfarer. Let's talk about the details. The developer is Thunder Lotus, which is known for a game called Jotun. I had never heard of that game, but it actually looks pretty neat, as well as Spiritfarer, regularly priced at $29.99. This is classified as a, quote, management adventure game. We made that up. That is not actually what it's classified as. It's available on Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, PC, and, ladies and gentlemen, Stadia.
Where I played it, the superior console.
Is it a console?
I don't know. You get a dongle. That's a console.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it a console if it's, interesting. That's a question not for this podcast. There is no DLC and there is no Xbox One X support, which is kind of a bummer. I mean, it is a, quote, pixel. Is it? No, it's not really pixel art, is it?
No. This is indie art. You guys know what that means.
Yeah. So it looks good, but I thought it was weird that there is no One X support. So that does kind of suck, but is what it is. But all right, Spiritfarer. Let's talk about this one. I wasn't sure what to expect from this one going in, so.
Well, I know you expected of me. You expected me to hate this game.
I did. After I started playing this game, and because we had sort of split up these games, like, I was checking out a couple, you were checking out a couple. I was playing this, and I was like, man, Basher is going to hate this.
I gotta tell you, man, it's the initial minutes. I'm like, yeah, I could hate this game. I don't know what it's doing.
I could hate this game.
But I could hate this game a lot. But it quickly caught my attention. So it's one of those indie games that isn't indie for indie's sake. There's some gameplay here. And that's usually my issue with a lot of indie games. And probably why you thought I would hate it. Because it's not a lot of... Because usually these games don't have a lot of gameplay. And this game, it it really kind of walks you through all the different mechanics of management and where you get the materials and stuff for quite a bit. And by the end of it, I'm like, I can see this game going places.
So yeah, to set it up a little bit, this game is 100% a management sim. It's an adventure management sim, but it's 2D. You know, it's not like a Roller Coaster Tycoon or anything. You play as Stella, who is a fairy master to the deceased, and you are a new spirit farer. And basically, you're trying to help spirits go to the afterlife in a good mindset, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't know what the point of the game is, but I like it. I don't know what it is.
It's kind of strange. So, like on paper, I was expecting I don't want to say a dark game, but I was expecting, I was like, if you're trying to help people cope with the afterlife or cope with or go to the afterlife peacefully, I expected this game to be much more of a like these people have seen things, but it is not that at all. This game is 100% trying to just be a chill game.
Super chill, man.
Yeah, super chill. It's got hand-drawn art and animation, and everything has a distinct characteristic to it. Every single sort of spirit that you come across, you know, there's a snake, there's a deer, there's a giant frog, there's an owl, like you got a cat that follows you around, Daffodil, and all of it is extremely charming. Like, it looks good, and it was something that I just didn't know what to expect from the game. But as it kept going on, as I kept finding new places and getting new upgrades, the art style is really what sold me on it. I'm usually not a person for management sims because I don't like a ton of downtime, but this game is extremely good at making that downtime productive in ways that I'm not sure how they cracked the code, but for whatever reason, it works for me. The loop of this game just works for me.
It's the boat, man. That boat just changed the game.
That boat's fun.
Because the entire game, well, the entire management sim part of it takes place on a boat. A somewhat constantly moving boat. So you basically need to just create all the farms, the sheep pens, the kitchens, maybe all of that, like where the spirits live, their own custom houses, it all goes on the boat. And it's like something about it just adds a charm to it. And it adds a sense of progression, even when there's nothing progressing per se, because you can set your boat to move to a certain location and then just get back to farming, get back to watering, get back to cooking, get back to fishing. And that's the other thing. You can just fish all the way through. And any game with fishing is the best game of all time. Shout out to Sonic.
I see what you did there. Yeah, it's so like the loop of this game is basically, and it introduces it slow. I think you could argue maybe too slow, but it does it in a way that is very, it's not overwhelming in any capacity, which is something that I think is extremely important. I think that's why I bounce off a lot of simulation or resource management games, because there was something about that like original Roller Coaster Tycoon that the flow of that game just, it introduced everything at the right time that just sort of clicked. And that's how this game was for me. Like, it starts out with, you just have one spirit, you've got one farm, you've got one kitchen, and that's it. And as you're traveling from location to location, whether you're going to get resources, whether you're going to get some trees, whether you're going to get some iron, whether you're going to pick up a new spirit, whatever it is, the game is extremely good at giving you the in-between time of there's always something to do. You know, I need to go tend to the garden really quick, or my spirit friend is hungry, so I'm going to go make him some popcorn really fast, or I'm going to go up to the mill eventually and I'm going to make some boards, you know. Or I'm going to fish, like you said. And the thing is that there's so many different activities, even though they're pretty mundane, there were so many that I never got bored with them, if that makes sense. And I was always, and because of the art style and the presentation, anytime I got to a new island, it was almost like a Metroid game where I'm just like, oh, like I kind of want to see what's here. I want to find the secrets, the nooks and the crannies. I want to talk to the person that's sort of hidden that I can't find. I want to go through these quote side stories that are well written. And I don't know. It just it all clicks in a way that when I first booted up the game, I wasn't quite sure about. And then it all just clicks in that those first like 2 hours. I was like, man, this is cool. Like there's a lot going on here that I'm enjoying.
Yeah, I completely agree. And to just add on to the part where there's always something to do. What I like about this game, honestly, one of the aspects is you don't have to do the thing sometimes. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, it doesn't punish you in any capacity.
And I greatly appreciate that because I was very much expecting me to forget to feed one of the spirits and then it end up dead or it complaining a lot or
right
some detriment. And it's like right. Like it does punish you, but in a way that doesn't prohibit gameplay. It doesn't hinder you because, for example, if you don't feed I forgot the character's name, but the snake, and it gets hungry and it gets sad, what happens then is it just doesn't do watering plants for you. It just doesn't sing to plants for you.
Right.
You can still do all that yourself. It just won't do it for you. She just won't help you out because she's too hungry, she's too sad, she's too whatever. And I feel like that's a very realistic way of dealing with the problem. Because if you're too hungry, too annoyed to do things, that makes sense to me. It doesn't stop you it doesn't then mean the world just stops. Your boat does not stop. You don't just stop your journey. You still continue progressing through the story, through the plot, through the gameplay. You just don't have that one aspect there for you.
Right. And I think another important part on that is that when eventually you do get to the snake again or you get to your friend, like it's very easy to sort of bring their spirits back up. You know, literally give them a hug and give them some food. They're usually pretty happy. I can relate to that.
Right. That works on everybody. Like it's literally everyone. So it's a game where it's a game management game, where it's super chillaxed, and at the same time, there's just enough there plot wise and story wise where you want to see things to the end. Because you do want to be a good spirit fairer, and then you do want to get to the portal to see what's on the other side. Like it's one of those indie games that's very neat, but it's very neat with real gameplay in a real gameplay loop.
Yeah, and it's you can tell that the creators of this game are they really liked making this game. You know, they're very very into the art style and like you said, neat is the right word, but at the same time, it's engaging in a way that after I got like 3 or 4 hours in, I sort of expected the game to sort of, I just expected it to stop doing new things, but it does, like this game is pretty large. Like the map is pretty big and it almost has a Metroidvania style to some parts of the map of you'll go to an area. It's like, I really feel like I should be able to get into this cave or get to the top of this cave, but I just can't right now. And eventually you'll be able to. And then, so it does a very good way of looping you around and looping you back in a way that doesn't feel like it's forced. Like you said, even though you don't always have to be progressing to still be enjoying the game, if that makes sense, you can really work at your own pace. You can really do like, if you're super into this one project at this time, you don't have to go back and make sure that you're doing everything else too. I think I had carrots growing for like an hour. And I just never went and picked them up. And maybe, you know, I probably should have because I could have planted something else. But the game isn't punishing me for that. Like, I don't run into a wall suddenly because I didn't plant something else where the game's just like, well, now because you didn't plant this, you're going to have to wait for this to grow. And even if you run into that, the game is very good at saying like, okay, if you screwed this up, we're going to give you a way to sort of bypass it when it comes to the crops and stuff like that. Like with the crops, you can straight up pull out a guitar, play a little mini game, and your crops grow like 100%
faster. That was amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, like it sounds stupid, but like when you play music to the plants, they grow faster. And that was amazing to me because I'm fully expecting a game management game to be like, well, it's going to take 45 minutes for these plants to grow. So yeah, good luck with that. oh, you want to grow right, faster than spend another 45 minutes for an upgrade. It's like, no, like this is, you just play music. And if you need something right there and then, you can get it. It's the same with a lot of the mechanics in here. You don't have to wait on them. You don't have to stop. You don't have to tend to things as if the entire game itself is one giant responsibility. It really feels like an adventure that you're on, and these tasks are just kind of there along for the ride.
Yeah, and that I could, yes, completely agree. It just, I think that's where games like Don't Starve just really, I know people love that game,
I love that game.
I just, that game, I feel like if I missed one thing, man, it's just like, I get it, that's the point of it, but
right.
But it just, it's harsh, man. It's harsh.
This would be the antithesis to Don't Starve, essentially, because it's like, you can't really screw up, whereas Don't Starve is like, you screw up, you're dead. Right. Like, oh, okay.
And that's, and again, nothing wrong with that, but I feel like that the audience is just much more, I can't recommend Don't Starve to a lot of people, and it's not because it's a bad game, it's just because I'm like, if I recommend that game to them, they're going to play it for an hour and be like, this is what... what happened?
I died. Why did you recommend this to me? 7 times in 7 minutes.
Right.
What's going on?
Like, why would you? But then when it comes to Spiritfarer, I'm just like, no, like, you play that game. Like, that game is, I guess I spoiled the ending of this podcast. Play that game. Like, that game is really cool. It's going to introduce you to the mechanics in a great way. And I respect it because it also does have the deeper layer. Like, once you get into the 6 to 7 hour mark of this game, there are the things that you would expect. Like, you do get the upgrades to make crops grow faster. You do get the upgrades to make the boat travel faster. Like, it still has all of those things. So even when you get super into this game, it rewards you for being good at the game. It rewards you by respecting your time and understanding that just because you're super into this game and you're super into the art style doesn't mean that you don't want to play it faster. You can play it either way you want, but you can also play it if you don't ever get any of those upgrades. That's fine. Like, I don't think the game works for any way you want to play it. And it doesn't put those upgrades behind, like, ridiculous tasks. It doesn't put the upgrades behind, like, you got to get $10 billion, and that's going to take you forever, where you spend the next 10 hours simply trying to get an upgrade just to make this one thing go faster. No, it very much respects your time, and it very much just lays it out in a way that makes sense and is good, is easy to grasp, which... Again, I guess I just didn't expect that from this game. It's very, very surprising to me of just how good of a game this is at its core.
I think the standout feature in this game, or game design choice rather, that allows this game to be a step above the rest is the fact that there's a goal. There's a very clear goal. There's a very clear ending. Like, this game will end, and you will experience an adventure, and you will be done with the game. And that's not something you can say for most management sims. It's like, because they just keep going and going and going, with the entire point of it to just keep going and going and going. Don't Starve, for example. It's right there in the title. You just don't starve for a whole long time. Like, and that's kind of the gameplay loop, where it's like... This game is, with Spiritfarer, is more like, we're telling you a story, we're showing you some characters, and it's going to end soon. And when it ends, you'll feel complete, you feel a sense of completion, and then you'll move on. And I think that's why this game works so well for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, in that sometimes I need a game to have a path, you know. We've sort of talked about it on this whenever we come to an open world game, but it's like, not every game needs to be 40 hours with a ridiculous plot that's elongated, and just like, sometimes a clear path with an ending after 10 to 12 hours is exactly what I want. And I think that, this game is, you can still get more out of this game than 10 to 12 hours. I want that to be clear. But again, you don't have to. It's very good at not forcing you to play it a way that it wants you to. So, again, I don't want to say I'm blown away by this game, but I'm shocked at how well designed this is, coming from a team that I had never really heard of, and covering a topic like death, in a way that's just, it's just cool. again, I think that's the word I'm looking for. It's just, this is a cool game. I like it.
Yeah, and it handles this mature topic in a way where the indie way of doing this title is to make it real dreary and have not even real dreary. The indie way of doing this is to have this very bright art style, but then behind it have this super deep like meaning to life. And it's like, no, like you missed the point. Like you missed the execution by a lot. Most indie games do. This game wears its heart on its sleeve. Yeah. Like it's like, this is a fun game. It's lighthearted. We're just, that's all it really is. It doesn't really want to be anything more than what it is. And I think that's another one of the things that just make it so much better than the average management sim.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to, what's the word I'm looking for? I think it comes down to just not being up its own butt.
Right. Like,
and, you know, I liken it to, is that the word I'm looking for? Liken it. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of like movies that want to tell a story, but I feel like the story is lost because it's trying so hard to be edgy that it's just like, I'm just like, I don't care.
I told you to stop watching Zack Snyder movies. Like it doesn't.
That's a whole different.
Told you, man.
Like I watched this movie recently called like The Slate or something on Netflix, and people were raving about this movie, and like it's a caricature for society and the world, and it's just like at some point like your message is lost because I just don't care. Like you failed to keep the message in a way that I just cared about, if that makes sense. So this doesn't do that, especially from a game standpoint. Like, it's not so far up its own butt that you just sort of lose focus on the central idea and the main idea. And I think that's extremely important, and I respect it a lot more for that. So,
for years, and on the other podcast, I used to do a Snaps. We used to have end of the year best of, like best games we played. I'm sorry, it was more like an award show, like best shooter, best RPG, et cetera, et cetera. Every year, I believe Braid won most pretentious game of the year. Even in years it wasn't like it wasn't released. Because every single year we say most pretentious goes to Braid again. This is not one of those games that's just, like you said, up its own butt. It just wants to tell a sweet story, and it accomplishes that with sweet characters, a sweet art style. There's no hidden agenda behind it. There's no deeper meaning. It's just, it is what it is, and it just knocks it out the park.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I think we've talked enough about this. I think it's very clear that we enjoy this game through and through. And I think it's fair to say, like, this is one of the, at least for me, this is one of the best Game Pass games I've played. Like,
I want to say back to back with that.
Yeah. I'm struggling to find, you know, there's usually two types of episodes or I guess there's three. The shorter episodes, because like, as I'm just looking at the time code here, like we haven't even hit 30 minutes. And this usually means one of two things. Either the game is really good or we really hate it. And sometimes, you know, with stuff like Ori and Gears 5 and stuff, we talk longer about them. But I think I could find more things wrong with Ori, even though I love that game and even though I really, really enjoyed that game. I think I could find more things wrong, quote, with it than I can with Spiritfarer. And while I don't necessarily think that, like, Spiritfarer is a 10 out of 10 or, you know, or the best game ever made, It does such a good job of accomplishing what it's trying to do. It reminds me of something like Cuphead. Like, you can have your problems with Cuphead, but I think on paper and what that team was trying to do, there's not a lot. I don't think they missed the mark by a lot. Whereas you can look at something like Gears 5 and it's like, well, I still really enjoy Gears and I really like Gears 5. There's a lot of things that they tried that just didn't work. Spiritfarer, I struggle to find almost anything wrong with it. Like, legitimately.
Yeah, and that's agree. Crazy. Like, I gotta agree with that. Like, yeah, it's a, for me, like, the perfect game of 10 out of 10 isn't isn't necessarily the game that does everything the best. For me, a 10 out of 10 game is usually when a team comes together, has a short list of things they want to do, and they do that short list very, very well. And they just, and it's very, and they just stick to that. Spiritfarer is one of those games where it's just, they stick to their guns all the way through. It seems like it's telling a sweet, cohesive story. The gameplay just ramps up in this naturally progressing way. And like you said, what does it do wrong? I struggle to find my beef with the game. And to that point, I believe you could have near perfect games, because if you can't find anything necessarily wrong with it, if you have to struggle to find something wrong with it, if a team puts something in that just doesn't work, then it's not quite there yet. But like with something like Spiritfarer, where they just want to do a few things and they do it so well. Yeah, this is near perfect for me, if not actually perfect. Cause I'm going to go back and finish this game after the show's done. Like that's how like into it I am.
Yeah, it's utterly fantastic. Like I, when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, definitely play this, pass it on to your friends. And like, they're one thing that I didn't get to experience, cause this game does have local co-op. One person can play as Daffodil. Which the cat is adorable, by the way. When you go in the water, it's just scared of the water, so it like skids across the top. Little touches like that I really like. I'd be curious to see how this game plays in co-op. Unfortunately, I guess I don't have any friends, but it is not online co-op or anything like that. So I guess if I had to say something wrong, why does this game have online co-op? But that's such a nitpick that I want to slap myself for even saying it. So play this game. Pass it on to your friends. Legitimately pass it on to your friends. I think this is a game that almost anybody can enjoy. Unless you are like super into Don't Starve style Sims, where it's like, I want the challenge and nothing but the challenge. I struggle to find anyone that I think would not enjoy this game. So,
agreed. I mean, that's all I can say. The game's fantastic. Like, I mean, there's a few times in this podcast where I can honestly say back to back, I'm more than happy with the games that we play. Just like I'm going back and playing both of these games, Spiritfarer and Wastelands 3 to completion as soon as possible.
There you go. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. Again, if you're listening to this and you didn't listen to Wasteland 3, please do it. It's a great episode. Like I said, these are coming out a little quicker. But all right, so that means next week we're going to be talking about Crusader Kings 3. I don't want to say warn people, but to sort of preface it, you've never played a Crusader Kings, correct?
Not really, no. I played 2, but I just played it. I didn't dive deep.
Right, and it's hard to, like, this is going to be a doozy. Crusader Kings is not a game, it is not like a Spiritfarer where you can play it for a couple hours and get it, like, it's going to be a marathon, I guess you could say. Like, it's going to take some significant work for us to talk about it. So we are going to get the episode up as soon as possible. But as always, I want to make sure that we both have a good understanding of what we're playing before we record that episode. So that episode is, and since we're releasing two back to back, hopefully it'll be next week, but it might not be kind of thing. I just want to put that out there. So you can thank Microsoft for their inability. I keep talking about this as if like it's a joke, but at the same time, like, dude, Microsoft, like, getting those day one games like Crusader Kings 3, Spiritfarer, and Wasteland 3 all dropping within like days of each other, that's some serious clout, man. Like, throwing that Game Pass weight around of just like, yeah, you want some new games? Boom, here you go. And yeah, they might not be $60 games, but I think we're truly starting to enter this era again where $60 doesn't mean it's like a good game doesn't have to be $60 anymore.
That's a myth perpetrated by the industry, clearly. Right.
But I mean, yeah. But I think there was a time at the beginning of this generation and sort of in a couple years after to where it's like it just felt like most of the indie stuff that was coming out was just not significant anymore. And I think we're sort of kind of going back to that era now to where kind of the end of the PS3 and the end of 360, where it's like, man, not every game needs to be $60 for me to enjoy it. And so sometimes you can get a $30 Spiritfarer and just be completely blown away style. So it'll be interesting to see. And as always, I talked about it briefly, but the Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S have been officially confirmed for November 10th. Before that, we are going to be doing an episode of just kind of the state of Game Pass and how we feel going into those new consoles and stuff. So that'll be coming too. So lots of new content coming. We've also decided that we're going to be doing something on Destiny 2, kind of maybe like a not Spirit of Thieves, Sea of Thieves. Wow. Sea of Thieves, to where that game has changed so much significantly, or has changed significantly from when it first launched, kind of like with Fallout 76, that we're going to hop in. We're going to put some serious time into it and sort of give the overall feeling on that game. So that will be coming at some point. But again, that's a big game to get into. So we'll see what happens. But all right, that's going to be this episode. Tune in next week for Crusader Kings 3. And you can email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. We will see you next time. That was a weird way to end the show, but we will see you next time.
Good day, sirs.